That is awesome, wasn't it? Thank you, Brother Ricky. I appreciate Brother Ricky. And thank God that God is our refuge, our very present help in a time of need. Whatever your need is today, I promise you can meet that need. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. On last Sunday morning, I brought you a message on the revelation of the Word. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21, the Word of God says, "The Lord revealed Himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord." You hold in your hand this morning, if you happen to have your Bible with you, and I certainly hope you do. I used to say you never saw a cowboy without his gun. You ought not ever see a Christian without his Bible at church. So people don't appreciate that nowadays, you know. But anyway, the Word of God is one of the greatest treasure, or the greatest treasure outside of your salvation you have. Well, you say, "Well, Brother Bill, I've got a lot of money in the bank." No, that money will, it's going to dissolve away. It'll be gone. But you know, this Word of God is eternal. It's going to last forever and ever. And God has entrusted that to you, given that to you as a blessing, so you can have the Bible, to read the Bible, grow from the Bible, and thank God for the Bible. I mentioned a while ago about that Brother J.B. was back in the service this morning. I am sure glad that Ms. Mabel Parker's here, and what a blessing she is, and her daughter, and all the family. And glad Ms. Mabel's back today. I appreciate her being here. And you remember her in prayer. And she's not having the best day, but she's glad. She said, "Now that I'm here, I'll be okay." And then we ought to all feel that way, hadn't we? Once we get here to the house of God, we'll be okay. And I mentioned a while ago, Ms. Glenda Jackson is not able to be here today, and she's always here. She's recuperating from the fall and the surgery on her foot, and so you remember to pray for her. But she's written the church a very kind note. It says, "To my church family, I appreciate all of you for the many thoughtful acts of kindness to me since my accident, the calls, the visits, the food, and most of all for your prayers. Loving Christ, Glenda Jackson." And I want to do that, Ms. Glenda, probably listening. But I appreciate Ms. Glenda. You remember her in prayer. And good to have Ms. Betty over here this morning. Hadn't seen her in a good long time. Glad she's here this morning and with Carolyn and the other folk that are here. Appreciate you being here. Got to meet several guests, and we're sure glad. Next Sunday will be Mother's Day, and we're looking forward to that. And I'll say a word about the mother-daughter banquet later. But Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. And I want you to look with me, please, at verse 12. One verse this morning. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now you think about that. The word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. The word of God is alive. And it is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide asunder of the soul, of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, in recent years, scientists have developed the technology of lasers. Used to, a lot of surgeries were done with metal instruments, but now they do surgery with light. Isn't it amazing how that light can be intensified and it can cut? Well, way before we ever knew anything about laser surgery, God already had laser surgery. It's through the Word of God. He said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide asunder the joints and marrow, which that's the human element. But it says it not only can do that, but it can divide soul and spirit. Further, it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a powerful thing the Word of God is. I want to preach to you for a few minutes on not only last Sunday, the revelation of the Word, what the Word of God reveals, but this morning on the power of the Word of God. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask now the Holy Spirit of God to breathe on me today. I pray, God, that you touch me. Thank you, God, for the wonderful singing of the choir and the congregation and Brother Ricky this morning. And God, I pray, God, that you would be our refuge, our very present help in time of need. Our Father, there are gathered in this building this morning many people with needs. Many have heavy hearts, broken hearts. Many are facing financial problems and family problems. And many, our Father, who are facing physical problems. I pray, God, that, Lord, they'd find you to be their refuge in every need. I ask, God, the Holy Ghost this morning to anoint me, fill me with the power of God that'll make the difference. Bless those of our church family who couldn't be here and our many thousands of people who join us by the means of radio and internet. And I pray, God, that you'd make, Lord, this service special. I ask, God, for that power of the Holy Ghost of God upon me. Our Father, I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of men. And Lord, through the Word of God, I pray that you'd be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of each one of our hearts. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God for His Word. What can the Word do? The Word is powerful. And what does that power accomplish? Now, I'll just tell you, tonight I will finish this message. This morning I'm going to deal with two aspects of the power of the Word of God. I want to begin that by saying in the book of Acts in chapter number 2, if you'd turn there just quickly for just a few moments, in Acts chapter 2, our Lord has been crucified, buried, rose again, and already ascended back to heaven in Acts chapter 2. He told His disciples to remain in Jerusalem, to stay there until they'd be endued with power. He promised the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 2, that promise is kept, and the Holy Spirit of God has come. And then they rejoice in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Those who were fearful are now not afraid. Those who were discouraged are now encouraged. Those who were weak are now powerful. And they leave out of that place rejoicing. And they were so thrilled with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and with the truth that that Spirit of God made known to them. They leave out and they are so ecstatic and so full of joy that people see them think they are drunk. And, thank God that they said that this is not that. It's not alcohol, but it's the Holy Spirit of God. And then what happens is God keeps His word. He told them, the Holy Spirit of God will come upon you and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And so that is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when the Bible says the disciples stood and they preached the word of God on the day of Pentecost. And the apostle Peter, who the passion plays about, who had on three different occasions denied the Lord, even cursed and said, I don't know the man. He's right in the middle of it. He has been touched by the Holy Spirit of God. He's been converted. Now he's strengthened the brethren. And now he preaches under the anointing of God. And the Bible says that 3,000 souls get saved. But I want you to notice the power of the Word of God in that. Notice in chapter number 2 of the book of Acts, and I call your attention down to verse number 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, they were brought under conviction. They were pricked in their heart. Means they were stabbed in their heart. And the Word of God brings conviction. You have loved ones and friends and neighbors who you talk to about the Lord. You invite them to the church, and quite often it's like water off the duck's back. But under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God convicts men of sin. If there's never any conviction, there'll never be a conversion. If men never realize they're lost, if women and boys and girls don't realize that they are sinners, that they'll never be saved. Jesus died to save sinners. God doesn't save good folk. He doesn't save folk who are not as bad as other people. He saves only sinners. What good news for those of us who are sinners. And when you come to acknowledge that and recognize that, and the Holy Ghost of God helps us to see that. The Bible said the Spirit of God's come to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But He doesn't do that independently of any other means. He chose to use the means of the Word of God to bring conviction. And the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to bring conviction. And it's demonstrated here right from the very beginning in the book of Acts in the day of Pentecost. He brings conviction. And when the Holy Spirit of God convicts people, He eliminates all their excuses. People say, well, I'm as good as everybody else, or I'll do it later. But many of you in here could testify there came a time in a service somewhere, or maybe even at home, where the Word of God was in your heart, the Holy Spirit of God applied that Word to your heart, and all of your excuses went out of the window. I'm thinking about some of our friends who are here, and they told me they said they would never get saved. They never could imagine themselves to be in the house of God today. today. And if it had been left up to a preacher, they wouldn't be here. If it had been left up to even a good godly mom and daddy, they wouldn't have been here. But it was the Holy Spirit of God who took the Word of God and He convicted their heart. And when God's Spirit speaks to you, He brings cutting to you. I read a story one time of a missionary who was distributing New Testaments in the language of a certain people in a certain place. And later the next morning, one of those natives came back and tried to give him the book back, tried to give him the New Testament back. And he said, no, that's yours. I want you to have it. He said, no. He said, this book cuts me. This book cuts me. And I know what he's talking about. It's the Holy Spirit of God when he helps you to understand that you are lost and that you are on your way to hell. And you don't care what anybody else does. You don't care if they are this, that, or the other. I have people tell me sometime, Brother Billy, I'd get saved, but there are too many hypocrites in the church. Well, it's a foolish man who let a hypocrite send him to hell. I don't want to do that. And the Holy Spirit of God, when he gets hold of your heart, you won't care who's at church or who's not at church. You won't care all your excuses are, they all go out of the window. But thank God, listen, for me and you who are saved, and for me and you who love the Lord, and for me and you who got a burden for people, can I tell you that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Gideons, for several, many years now, have been distributors of the pure Word of God, and they've given it out in doctor's offices, in military posts, and in public schools and everywhere else. And their testimonies are in the millions of people who, through the simple Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit of God, have come to know Christ because the Spirit of God brought real conviction. And so the first thing I say to you is that the Word of God has the power to convict. Where you can't, you say, well, I got a good friend, but they could care less about the things of God. They could care less about that. You got a husband, a wife, or family member who you say they don't care anything at all about the things of God, and it doesn't bother them what they're doing. The Word of God will convict. You give them the simple Word of God. And you say, well, Brother Billy, they don't believe the Bible. Don't believe the Bible. I heard Jack Howell say one time, he's talking about the Word of God. He said, you know, you need to share or present the Word of God. And somebody says, I don't believe it, and this, that, and the other. He said, let me give you an illustration. He said, I'm at home in the middle of the night. On the nightstand beside my bed is a 45. It's a Smith & Wesson. And he said, a guy breaks in my house, comes running into my bedroom, and threatens to kill me and my wife. He said, I pick up that gun, and I say to him, I want you to know that this is one of the greatest manufactured weapons of all time. Smith & Wesson sold millions of these. It is an authentic gun, and it is original, and it's got so many grains of powder and such a grain of weight of bullet and all those things. And he said, no, you don't have to explain it. You don't have to make him believe in the gun. Just pull the trigger. That's all you got to do. They don't have to believe the Word of God. Just pull the trigger. They can deny it all they want to, but the Holy Spirit of God says this Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's quick and powerful. The Word of God will do the work of God if you'll get the Word of God to them any way you can, in a track, in a CD, or personal testimony, or get them to listen to things. God has blessed the Highway Shepherd more than anything I've ever been involved in, and I've seen more people, got more reports of people being saved than any other mission project that I've ever been associated with. Why? Because people are not intimidated to pick up a CD and listen to it in the middle of the night right by themselves. And they may not believe the Bible. They may not trust Christ. Many of you know and have met Gary Gaither. And he was a Catholic for 52 years, but he knew he'd never been saved. And he said he didn't care for religion, didn't care anything about that. And he said, but he picked up a CD and he hauled it around for several months. And he said he just listened to a little bit at the time, a little bit at the time, and a little bit at the time. Until God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of his heart. The Word of God it has the power to convict. Not only that, I'm glad that it doesn't leave us like that. It'd be kind of like if you wanted to have surgery one day and the surgeon diagnosed you with a disease or cancer or something that has to be surgically removed, and he were to lay you on a table somewhere and he were just to pinpoint that malady, that tumor, whatever it is, and then just cut you open and say, okay, I'm through now. It'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? But can I say this to you? The Word of God not only has power to convict, to pierce you and cut you and show you you're lost, but has the power to convert you and to save you. The word is regeneration. It is the fact that God can use the word for that. Will you turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Peter? The Bible has power to convict, but it also has power to convert. Look in the book of 1 Peter, if you will, please. In 1 Peter, in chapter number 1, I want to read to you from this passage of Scripture beginning, if we could, in verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, and gold from your vain conversation revealed by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another and be of a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, you don't have to have a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar explain that to you. It's very simple. He said that you got saved, you were redeemed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. It says that you and I have been redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation, but notice what it says, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. What is it that saves us? What is it that washes away our sin? It is the blood of Christ. It is the redemptive work of Christ on that cross where he died. He bore our sin. He died on that cross for us and for me and you and anybody who's ever been saved, and those of you who are not saved, thank God he died for you as well. For he loved the whole world and he died for you. He's already paid your sin debt on that cross. But now there's a further step to that. And that is this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of God. But then it goes on and says this over here a little further, verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, what do you mean? And he goes on, he says, that word is the word of the Lord, it is the gospel. You see, how you got saved was the gospel. God gave you the gospel through some preacher or through some family member or through some printed page. The reason you're saved today is because you heard the gospel. It may have been on a dramatic presentation, the word of God visualized, but the gospel was presented, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And my dear friend, people get saved through the presentation of the gospel. People get saved through the seed of the word of God. It seeds planted. Now, the Holy Spirit of God deals with hearts. And the Spirit of God speaks to hearts and brings conviction. Back in the book of James, if you look in the book of James, and notice what he said in the book of James and chapter number 1. Look at verse 18. Just turn back just a little ways. Find the book of James and look at verse number 18. Of your own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. You were begotten, born by the word of truth. The Holy Spirit of God applied the word of God to your heart to bring conviction, but then to bring conversion. It's the word of God that revealed Christ to you. Holy Spirit of God used that word and gave you the gospel. And thank God for that. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the word of God. The gospel, my dear friend, must be heralded. It must be told. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It has to be told. Why? Look over in the Bible in 1 Corinthians. Notice what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1 and verse 21. It says this. He said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The gospel has to be heralded. It has to be told. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. My dear friend, that's our responsibility, to get the gospel out. And it's a gospel that's powerful. I thank God for this church. I thank God for our music program. Thank God for all of our ministries. But I'm glad that you enjoy being here. But people don't get saved because we tell them about the church or tell them about the ministries. People will get saved when we tell them the gospel, tell them about Christ and present the gospel. We used to sing that old song, I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. The gospel is powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul said, the gospel is powerful and it'll save. And then he said, turn in your Bible, please, in the book of Romans, if you will. In Romans chapter number 10, I'll read this to you. Romans chapter 10. And notice what he said in Romans chapter 10. And I begin reading in this passage of scripture with verse number 6. But the righteous which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And here it is. What is it? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then further it says this, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Here's the truth. The word of God has to be heralded. People have to hear the gospel. You go to a church service and they do all types of things and talk about social issues and everything, and the gospel's never presented. I'm thankful I grew up in a church, in a Southern Baptist church over just a little further north of here, where the gospel was preached, where the word of God was preached. If I'd never heard the gospel, I'd not be saved. If I'd not been saved, I'd not be here today. I might be dead and in hell, but I'm glad I heard the gospel. And my dear friend, if you're saved today, you got saved because you heard the gospel. You heard the gospel. The gospel has to be preached. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. As a matter of fact, listen, in regard to the gospel, it has to be heralded. It has to be told. And the apostle Paul, my dear friend, the gospel is, we are commanded. The Lord said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But then Paul would give us a caution in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. The apostle Paul says this, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. What does he mean by that? Well, the word says it all. He said, woe is me. That's the cry of a leper. That means a man who's in total misery. It means a man who's in trouble, jeopardy. And my dear friend, Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. God is commissioned to preach the gospel. And it has to do with his commission. But I'll tell you, God commissioned you too. He's woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe am I and woe are you. I mean, it's a bad thing for me and you not to preach the gospel. We'll never be happy in the Lord like we ought to be until we become witnesses of Christ, until we begin to be involved in the ministry of Christ. And I'm thankful that you, so many are, thankful that God's just give people ministry. And I say over and over again, everybody in this church ought to be involved in ministry, giving out tracts, passing out CDs, witnessing, doing all you can, praying for lost people, getting the gospel out in the community, because we have a commission to do that. But Paul gives us some caution. He said, woe is me if I preach not. It's a woe on him if he does not fulfill his responsibility, because God will hold us accountable because he told us to do something, we didn't do it. Disobedience. But then also, I believe Paul is saying, woe if I preach not the gospel, meaning the content of it. He's talking about the content of the gospel. He's talking about a lot of people preach, but they don't ever give the gospel. Now, I had a wonderful friend, he's in heaven now, and he was a great preacher. And I'm not suggesting that he didn't preach the gospel. But we went to hear him one time. In fact, Melissa, when she was just a little girl, went with me. And Melissa used to take very detailed notes of all the messages she heard. And we went to hear this preacher. He's kind of a famous preacher, an evangelist. And it was a great service. He was just a real animated type man. And so when we left, first time she'd ever heard him, we ride home that night. And I said, Melissa, how'd you like so-and-so? And she said, Daddy, I really, really liked it. I really enjoyed it. And she's sitting there with a little notebook open, and she had his name, and she had a verse. And she said, but you know what? He didn't say nothing. And what she meant was she couldn't get an outline from it. He did preach. But you know, isn't it a sad thing that across America, in so many situations that are called religious gatherings, they never say anything. They never preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, woe is me if I'm not concerned about the content of the message I preach. What do you mean, Brother Billy? Well, look over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Paul said it very simply in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He adds the witnesses that know that validate Christ's resurrection. But here is the gospel as clearly as it could be presented anywhere in the Scripture. What is the gospel? He said, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Paul said, I have to make sure, woe is me if I don't preach that message. What is that message? Number one, men are sinners. Christ died for our sins. Men are sinners. The gospel means nothing to a person who does not realize they are a sinner. If they don't understand they are lost, the gospel means nothing. It's kind of like trying to throw a lifeline to a man who's standing on the shore. He doesn't understand he's in trouble. But you get a fella out there and he's gone down for two times and he's just popped up for the last time. And when he calls, if you throw him a lifeline, he'll grab it. And when men and women realize they're sinners and the Holy Spirit of God does His ministry convicting, then that gospel is effective. And Paul said, He died for our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Makes no difference if you miss it by a mile or if you miss it by an inch. Every person misses it. Makes no difference if you're a cocaine addict or if you're a member of Congress. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said the Word of God has concluded all under sin. And the wages of sin is death. Paul said in this passage of Scripture that Christ died for our sins. That's an essential element of the gospel, is that Christ bore all of our sins. It's not good news. The gospel means good news. It's not good news that you are a sinner. It's not good news that you even recognize and acknowledge the fact you're a sinner. The good news is this, that He bore your sin on that cross. And He died on that cross for you. Christ died. And Paul said, woe is me if I don't preach a message that says that all men are sinners and that Christ died for every man's sin and that He was buried and He rose again. He's alive evermore. Thank God for that. But Paul said this further in the content of it. Not only that Christ died for our sins, not only that He bore our sins on the cross, not only that He was buried and rose again, but here's the good news. Whosoever will can come. That's the good news, that if you'll come and by faith, He'll save you. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. And Paul, in his message of the gospel, presents the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ and an invitation. Dr. Harold Sightley used to say the gospel has its own invitation in it, and it really does. That if you'll listen, if you'll believe that, you can be saved. You can know Christ. And Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel because of the commission that he had and because of this caution. Woe is me about the content. But then there's a further statement, the consequence of not preaching the gospel. The consequence of not preaching the gospel. Paul said, woe is me if I don't fulfill my responsibility. Woe is me if I don't preach a pure gospel. Woe is me because of the consequence of not preaching the gospel. There's none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. He said in the book of Ezekiel, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And he said, if you speak to warn that wicked man and he will not turn from his sin, His blood's off your hands, basically, is what he said. But he said, if I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you do not speak to warn that wicked of his way, that he turn from his sin, that man will die in his sin, but his blood will I require at thy hand. I want to be obedient to Christ. But I want you to understand something. God called me into this community almost 15 years ago now, or over 15 years ago now. But it's not my responsibility to get the gospel to every creature, only me. You're accountable as well. Every saint of God, you operate in a sphere of influence that I never will. I'm not in your public school every day. I'm not at your place of work every day. I don't know all of your extended family. And I am convinced that God holds every saint of God accountable for spreading that word. It is quick and powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. But my dear friend, Paul said, woe is me if I preach not, because of the consequences of it. Because if people do not hear the gospel, they can never, ever be saved. And if they don't hear it, whose fault is that? He said, how can they believe in them whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? You and I have that responsibility to get the gospel out. It has to be heralded. It has to be presented. It has to be heard. They've got to hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for them. And you say, well, Brother Billy, is it effective? I didn't plan to say this, but it just runs through my mind. Several years ago when I was in Panhandle, Florida, me and two or three other preachers put up a big tent. And we had a tent meeting. Different ones of us preached each night. And God bless. People had prayed. There was a spirit of revival in the Panhandle of Florida at that time. People came from everywhere. God saved souls every night. And this mother got saved. And I don't know if I preached that night or who preached that night, but somehow or another, I had contact with her. And she came to me or talked to me at the altar. And she said, Brother Billy, will you come to my house and talk to my teenage daughter? And I knew, you know, how teenagers are. A lot of times, you know, they get that phase where they don't know anything, or they know everything, rather. You don't know anything. And they lose interest in church. You need to keep them in church. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They need to hear it. Somebody was talking about the other day about a child in service, and they sit here drawing, little small child, not a teenager, but a small child. They were drawing, and they were concerned. They weren't listening. And then after they got home, they kind of had a little conversation with them. They heard everything I said. And those kids can sit there. They can multitask. They can draw a picture of Goofy and listen to me preach. I don't know what the Goofy's got to do with me preaching, but at any rate, they can do that. But they can listen, and they hear. They hear. And in order to get saved, you got to hear the gospel. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'll deal with that tonight. But that word of God gets in their heart. Not only does conviction come by the word, but faith comes by the word. And that word of God gets in their heart. And some of you can sit here and look right straight at me and not hear a word I say. Not a word. But you're sitting there and you're sitting up straight and you're staring ahead, but your mind is somewhere else. But my dear friend, in order to get saved, you have to hear the gospel. Hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They have to hear the gospel. It has to be preached, and the word of God has to get out in just that way. But let me give you one other thing, and I'll be through. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Not only does the word of God have to be heralded, it has to be preached. Not only does it have to be heard, and it is effective, it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. But it has to be not only heralded, and not only heard, but it has to be heeded. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. And let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, if any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Here's the problem. To come up short. Boy, listen, it's one thing to come up short on your bank account. It's one thing to come up short in some other areas. But if you come up short of heaven, what an awful thing that would be. What an awful thing for you just to come up just a little short. You reformed your life. You quit living the lifestyle you were living. You tried to live clean. You tried to do right. Tried to be a good husband. Tried to be a good wife. Tried to be a good mom and dad. And you started attending church and you took a bath and all those things. But you never trusted Christ. You heard the gospel, but you never responded. You didn't exercise faith. Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The gospel's preached. The gospel's clear. Jesus bore all of your sin. He died for you on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He's alive now. He's willing to save. He's able to save. He will save whosoever shall call. But only those who call. Only those who respond in faith will he save. Not willing that any should perish. But you must respond in faith. The gospel must be heralded, it must be heard, but it has to be heeded. People have to respond to the word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've told this story before, and I usually tell it in another message. But a few nights ago when I was preaching in Henderson, the Lord brought this story to my mind. When I was a student in Tennessee Temple Schools, I had the privilege of hearing Dr. R.G. Lee preach in person. And in that message that night, he told a story I've never forgotten. He said when he's pastoring that great First Baptist Church or Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, they called him in the middle of the night one time, this is way back many years ago, to the hospital there in Memphis, Tennessee, and said, "Dr. Lee, there's a young girl here and she's calling your name." As he dressed and took off down, and as he got there, the physicians met him and told him, said, "Dr. Lee, we have no idea who this girl is. Police brought her in. Her body's emaciated. She's nothing but skin and bone. She's a very young girl. But she's going to die. We can't stop it. And we don't know if she'll live another hour or not. But you must know her or have some connection because she called your name." And Dr. Lee said he went in to where they had her in this emergency area. That's the days when they had the oxygen tents, and they had an oxygen tent over. And he said he raised the side of that oxygen tent, and he saw there just a very pale frame of a girl, almost skin and bones. And he slipped in and sat down beside her, and he took her hand off the bed, and he said, "Honey, this is Dr. Lee." And she said, "I have heard you many times." Never opened her eyes. He said, "Honey, they tell me it's not good. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you saved?" And she said, "I've heard you many times." And he said, "Honey, listen, Jesus loved you. He bore all your sins on the cross. He died for you. And he was buried and rose again. He died to save you. Will you call on him now?" And she said, "I've heard you many times." He said, "Honey, I don't know how long you've got, but I do know this, the wage of sin is death. And without Christ, you'll be in hell for all eternity. Will you trust him now?" And she said, "I've heard you many times." And he said, "Honey, please, right now, will you trust Christ? He'll save you right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on him right now?" And Dr. Lee said, that young girl said, "I have heard." And he said that hand inside of his hand became very limp. And that cold, lifeless hand fell to the bed. And said that little girl slipped out into eternity saying, "I have heard." If she didn't get saved, if she didn't know Christ, in hell today, she's tormented and she'll be there forever and ever. And I believe she walks the charred walls and the confines of hell screaming, "I have heard." It's not enough to have heard. You must receive. He came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Salvation's a free gift, but it's only by your acceptance will it benefit you at all. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? My prayer as God burdened my heart about this message was that God would speak to me afresh and anew. There are elements in the life of Paul that I have never even come close to measuring up as a pastor or as a preacher. I live on that conviction. I want to be what God had me to be. God has blessed this church, blessed our ministries. No telling how many thousands of people on Sunday morning I preach to or you sing to. through the ministry of the Highway Shepherd last year, 70,000 CDs went out across America. And that's been the case now for several years, since 1994. Multiplied thousands, maybe even millions of people have heard the message of the gospel. And I have an overwhelming number of people who call me and say they got saved, but nothing comes close to the number of messages we've put out on the highway. The Bible said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there go therein. Narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and few there be that find it. That doesn't mean that everybody couldn't be saved. It simply means that there are very few who will respond to the Word of God, who will respond in faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that today? In the radio audience, the internet audience, wherever you are right now, God's Holy Spirit spoke to you as well as to all of us here. And will you right now receive Christ as your Savior? Here in the building, would you do that? As best I can understand the Bible, it is a process whereby the Holy Spirit of God makes us aware of our lostness, reveals the truth that Christ died for our sin, was buried, and the Holy Ghost of God quickens us to the fact that He calls us to want to be saved. He puts a desire in our heart to want to be saved. If you're here today and you want to be saved, He'll save you. But He only saved those who will respond in faith. And I believe that a believing heart is a confessing heart. The Bible said you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Would you call on Him right now? That dear lady I was telling you about earlier got saved that night. She said, will you come talk to my teenage daughter? It had a different outcome than Dr. Lee's story. When I arrived at the home, I was a little set back and shocked because the lady said, Pastor, this is my daughter. She called her name and she said, she's deaf and dumb. She cannot hear. She cannot speak. My heart melted inside of me. And I said, what can I do? And she said, she can read lips. And I asked her, I said, do you have a notepad? She said, I do. And I sat down and I talked as clearly as I could while I wrote the gospel. As I came down to the end, I drew a picture of a heart and pointed the pen toward her and then back to my heart. And then I said in Revelation, I wrote it in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door. And I said, your heart is the door. If you'll open your heart now and having to come in, He'll save you. A girl who could not hear me speak, who could not respond to me vocally, and she could not cry out to the Lord vocally, I saw the Spirit of God move on her heart as tears filled her eyes and ran down her cheek. And she simply shook her head, yes. Would you say yes today? Would you just simply say yes? Call on Him. He'll save you today. Yes. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the gospel. Our Father, I'm glad I'm saved and going to heaven and has nothing to do with me. Had nothing to do with my goodness or my righteousness, but it was a simple gospel message that I heard. And God, I responded in faith. And God, that testimony is 100 times over in this auditorium. Lord, many here have trusted You. But God, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who's never trusted You, I ask, Father, that the sweet Holy Ghost of God has applied the truth of the gospel. And that right now, somebody, for the very first time, would say yes.